appears in the two versions of the Ten Commandments. In Exodus, the fourth commandment begins, remember the day of Shabbos to keep it holy. And in Deuteronomy, it has the word Shamor, to observe Shabbos. The one is remember, and one is observe. And which one did Hashem say? So what we say in our davening, Shamor, B'Zachor, 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 God communicated the two words simultaneously, in a way we don't understand. And we heard two distinct words, Shamor and Zachor. The difference between Shamor and Zachor, as they just tell us, that Shamor is primarily the negative of Shabbat, one of the frames of the various activities of work, and Zachor are the positive aspects of Shabbat. We remember Shabbat by Kiddush, by having meals in honor of Shabbat, by singing, by dancing, by celebrating Shabbat in a positive way. Theoretically, one can do one without the other. If I sleep for 25 hours, I have not violated Shabbos. I have fulfilled the observance of Shabbos. But there's not a single melacha that I've done. On the other hand, I certainly have not honored Shabbos in that appropriate way. Conversely, if one makes kiddush, and one has meals, one has fulfilled zohar, but one has not fulfilled the observance of Shabbos. And the idea that they were both said the deeper achad reminds us that Shabbos has to be kept in both of those aspects. Again, I don't want to be moderate, I don't want to elaborate that much on what is the concept of work on Shabbos. Suffice it to say that the Hebrew word melacha is not the same as physical work. In point of fact, there's a lot of physical work you can do on Shabbos. I can schlep furniture in this room from one end to the other end. And in fact, as you will see, our Orsamea staff, our waiters and the like, work physically quite hard on Shabbos. So the definition of melacha is not physical work. Conversely, there are things that take very little physical exertion that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. I think of an example, when I was growing up in Hartford, Connecticut, and most of my classmates in the local day school in Hartford were not Orthodox, because in those days there were no conservative day schools. Even people who were not Shabbos observant, if they wanted their kids to have some Jewish education, they would send them to the Orthodox day school. So I remember that I was once walking on a very, very hot summer day, around 5 miles, to go to a classmate's bar mitzvah. And a few people drove by in their cars, and they offered me a ride, which religious Jews do not ride in cars on Shabbos. And my response was, well, I'm sorry, I can't get into the car on Shabbos. And they asked, why not? And it's kind of hard to explain, well, getting into a car is forbidden work on Shabbos. So instead, I will have to walk 5 miles in the hot summer sun. Now, that doesn't compute exactly. In terms of the physical hardship of the work, it's a lot easier to get into that air-conditioned car than it is to walk 5 miles in the sun. And obviously, you see from that type of dichotomy that this has nothing to do with work. And indeed, the key to this, the melacha, is a comment or explanation of Rav Shimshon of Fall Hirsch, the great, great 19th century rabbi of the Jews in Germany, where Rav Hirsch explains that melacha is not physical. Melacha is my mastery over the raw materials of nature. Since Shabbos is a recognition that God made the world in 6 days, and I acknowledge God as the creator of the world, so what I do is I refrain from exercising my mastery over the raw materials of nature. I refrain from exercising my creativity in the physical universe to acknowledge that God is the source of all that. And therefore, a verse says, all melacha is key to your ability to transform the raw materials, whether it's planting, harvesting, sowing, writing, even carrying, although carrying is not a transformation of an object, but given the fact that objects are situated in time and place, even changing the location of an object, private domain to a public domain is that type of master. And that is why the old argument that I remember hearing even as a child, where people say, oh, you can't turn on a light on Shabbos. Well, in the old days, you couldn't start a fire because it was so much hard work. You had to take two rocks, and it took hours and hours. Today, how can you talk about flipping an electric switch as malacha? But according to our person's definition, it's even more of a malacha, because it really involves our shilling top, our control, our domination of nature. Man is very powerful. We are made in the image of God, indeed. We can destroy this world. Maybe not the whole world, because there are certain promises here, but we can certainly destroy 99% of the world. Probably not 100%. We can destroy things. We build. We conquer diseases. We drain swamps. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us many, many abilities and powers. And that's a great gift, and it's a great responsibility. But the problem is, we sometimes get carried away with our power, our hubris, our greatness, our ability. And then, as the Torah itself warns us, that we are prone to the attitude that it is my strength and my ability that has accomplished all of these great things in the world. Shabbos basically says, hold back, refrain. Know that yes, we are given great blessings, great powers, great potential. But ultimately, it all comes from God. And therefore, Shabbos is about refraining from the exercise of our power over the universe to acknowledge that it all comes from our good. Now, it's interesting that we know that every Jewish boy, of course, has to have a blessing or precision. And it's interesting that the symbolism of circumcision and the symbolism of Shabbos work in opposite ways that are ultimately complementary. You know, there is an anti-circumcision movement, at least in the United States, and other countries, unfortunately, there are Jews that are involved in it. And occasionally, an anti-circumcision person will even put forth a religious argument, although it's patently absurd to make a religious argument against circumcision. When I first spoke from commanded it. But their argument is, who do you think you are? If God wanted Jewish boys to be circumcised, he would have created them circumcised. Hashem creates a human being a certain way, and you think you have the right to change it? What are you doing? This is not a new question. This was a question from the Midrash that a Matronisa, a Roman princess, asked the great Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva gave the mashal, he gave the parable of wheat. Human beings need bread. Why doesn't God just give us bread growing from the ground? After all, we've been saying our blessing for the bread. On mostly blessing in ours, he brings forth bread from the earth. Last time I looked, that wasn't true. That wasn't true. We have to plant the wheat seeds, and then what grows from the earth is wheat. It has to be threshed. It has to be harvested, it has to be threshed, it has to be husked, you have to think of the husk, you have to grind it into flour, you have to knead it into dough, you have to bake it. Why doesn't God do more of this job? And Rabbi Akiva's answer is, once again, just as I discussed about the oral law and the moral law, Hashem leaves things in a certain state of incompletion because he wants us to. So bris milah basically means God created the Jewish male to be somewhat incomplete and defective, requiring our actions to bring it to a shlemus. Just as Hashem did not turn the wheat into bread, but he left it to us, so too in the spiritual, Hashem left the ultimate rectification to us. And therefore, bris milah teaches us that our faith in Hashem cannot be passive or quiescent. We must be active, we have to take initiative. We can't look at the evils of the world and simply say, Hashem will take care of it. Yes, Hashem takes care of it. We have to take care of it. So in a sense, Ris Mila highlights the partnership between man and woman. It highlights the power of man. the autonomy of man, the obligation to seize the moment and take initiative. Shabbos, on the other hand, is exactly the opposite message. That it reminds us that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu will power us. If Bris Milah highlights our power, Shabbos highlights our weakness and our passivity, and a Jew needs both. On one hand, we have to be rooted in faith, rooted in Amunah, knowing that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is nothing we can accomplish. On the other hand, Bris Milah, you can never allow your faith in Hashem to be an excuse for not doing all that you can to make the world a better place, to bring holiness into the world. And even scientific endeavors or technological endeavors or anything that contributes to the world, one has a responsibility to try to do it. Bris Milah reminds us of our power. And Shabbos reminds us that is indeed one of the reasons why the Medrash points out that if Bris Milah is the eighth day, because that necessitates that every Jewish baby experience a Shabbos, because without absorbing the lessons of Amunah, the sense of our power will turn into violence. So, one should not simply look at Shabbos as an endless series of do's and don'ts. I know that it can be very daunting if you're not used to it. Can't turn on the lights, the lights aren't turned on ahead of time. Can't rip the toilet paper, has to be ripped ahead of time. And initially, it seems bewildering, it seems confusing. It doesn't seem initially to make a lot of sense. But first, rest assured that after a while, you get used to the routine that does not become so daunting. But even more important, instead of looking at it as simply a bunch of million and one rules, look at it essentially that this is the one day where we understand that everything comes to you. We don't exercise our power over the universe, over the material world, over the technological world. And of course, given the proliferation of social media, it is certainly a great, great blessing. Shabbos Kodesh, no Facebook, no Twitter. I'm not opining whether that's appropriate during the week either. I'll put that aside. We don't have virtual communities. You gotta look your friends in the eye. You gotta talk to your wife, not to a cell phone. And in a sense, Shabbos is not only the fostering of our relationship with the Almighty, but Shabbos allows us to create the meaningful bonds of many homes. This might be the only time that parents and children have time to get together, and it's really tragedy and sad when even on Shabbos sometimes people are running around but they don't have that chance. Part of the Shabbos husband and wife and parents and Shabbos friends have time for outreach, time for teaching children. Yeah, in Shabbos you make time for everything. Sleep a little. Maybe Shabbos is considered to be a delight. You drink a little. You eat perhaps more than a little. You sing. You say words in tongue. Prayer to Hashem. Shabbos is a whole package. Shabbos brings all of the elements of what it is to have a meaningful Jewish life and indeed a meaningful human life. All comes together. And it's a real, real shame that we swear to God. I can talk about the sin that desecrated Shabbos. I can talk about the serious punishment that is given here. But I would prefer to emphasize another aspect. That is the opportunity that Shabbos gives us. And how sad it is to squander such a precious and beautiful opportunity. And indeed, it's very fascinating that the most common word for sin is the word chet. Instead of saying, I committed a sin, a person might say, I committed a chet. But it's fascinating that the etymological origin of the word chet is not sin, it means missed opportunity. For example, if I shoot an arrow at a target and I miss the arrow, that's called wahakati. Right? So that's a wonderful way of thinking about it. Instead of being guilty and feeling so bad about it, okay, it's simply a recognition. Gee, I had such a great opportunity. Isn't it sad that I passed it up? But you know, God is in his infinite providence. He's given us Shabbos every single week. But even if a person messed up, missed the opportunity, there's always another one. Sometimes even religious people take Shabbos for granted. It comes so often. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. There is more oxygen in the world than there is water, because breathing is even more important than drinking water. There is more water in the world than there is steak, because we need water more than steak. Sometimes the more often something is, the more important it is. Shabbos. The Orachai and the Chagach, one of the great commentators, actually says that the world is given a lot of spiritual energy and the next week's energy will come in only because there is some Jew in the world that's keeping Shabbos. He actually says, the Orachai says, if God forbid, Rosh Hashanah, it's never happened, if God forbid, a given Shabbos for time in which no Jew kept Shabbos at all, the world at the end, the universe at the end of Shabbos will cease to exist. Because what comes into the world that keeps it going is the holiness of Shabbos as manifested in the observance of the Jewish people. And even one Jew. And obviously there are more. The quality of the spiritual energy that comes into the by the magnitude of our Shabbos, both in terms of quantity, how many people are coming, and in terms of so Baruch Hashem, JLE people, you're fortunate to be in the holiest place of the world. I mean, it's a the holy place, but the city of Yerushalayim, tonight is going to be really at the holiest place of the world, or at least near the holiest place of the world, the holiest place of the holy of holies. We're not allowed to go there, which will be the Western Wall, adjacent to that area. So, we're going to combine the holiest place in the world with the holiest way. Now, a combination of time and place. Of course, you yourself are the holiest place in the world. That's the Mishnah. And what you're going to see at the couple tonight, anyone that's been there knows this, is not only at the holiest place, the holiest day, but you're going to be connected to Jews of all types of people. Ashkenazim, Sephardim, different types of Hasidim. I got a whole book on the nuances of dress. Religious Jews, secular Jews, the people daven, not together, because everyone has their own minyan, but people are davening next to each other. People dance together, people sing together. It also reminds us, that's a few other places like this, that in spite of our disagreements, in spite of our focus, we are one nation. We are a common Israel. We love each other, we care about each other. We have our family fights, to be sure. Nevertheless, fundamentally, that Shabbos can be a lesson in Ashkenaz and Rosh Hashanah as well. And you have to remember that you can't really have a relationship with God unless you have a relationship with God's children. It's like somebody saying, I love you, but I hate your kids. You can't really love me if you hate my kids. My kids are part of me. Jewish people are God's children. If you love God, these are the things to think about as we enter Shabbos. Yes, there are a lot of do's and don'ts, but remember that in order to fully absorb the Shabbos, you try to take it as a total package. And then you get the power, the immense power of that experience, what Chazal called the Neshama Yaseva, the extra soul, an enhanced capacity for spiritual life. In a sense, Hashem is everywhere. That our ability to receive depends very much on something. I just wanted to share with you another thought about Shabbos, something that's interesting. We, of course, pray. We have a davening on Shabbos. We have what is called the Amidah, the standing up prayer. But you know, there's something unique about the Shemona Esrei, the Amidah of Shabbos. Normally, you have the first three blessings, the last three blessings, they're the same all the time. Except for Shem and Kippur, they're the same all the time. But then, there is a middle blessing that talks about the specialness of the day. We have this middle blessing on Shabbat, and we have this middle blessing on holidays. And what's interesting is, when it comes to the holidays, the middle blessing is always the same for the evening prayer, the morning prayer, and the afternoon prayer. It's the same one. Shabbos is the only liturgy of the whole year where the middle blessing assumes a different formulation, at least in part, in the evening, in the morning, and at night. In the evening, it talks about creation, that God created heaven and earth, and he rested on Shabbos. So the theme of Friday night is God as creator of heaven and earth. In the morning, we talk about God giving Moshe the tablets, the Ten Commandments, and Moshe coming down from Mount Sinai. So the theme of the evening is creation. The theme of the morning is revelation, giving of the Torah. And then the theme of Shabbos Mitzvah, where we talk about God is one and we are one, is really talking about the messianic era of redemption. And God's name will be one. The damage of God will be acknowledged as one, and his name is one. So thematically, what you have in the Shabbos Davening is an articulation of three basic ideas. Creation, revelation, and ultimate redemption. This is a unique twist. In other words, for every other redemptive, Marek, the evening prayer, Shabbos, the morning prayer, and the Mitzvah is always the same. Only by Shabbos do we have a distinct change in the focus of the ideas. And this would suggest that Shabbos, by definition, is a transitional and transforming experience. We enter Shabbos and we go through different stages that are reflected in the liturgy. The liturgy is mirroring and echoing changes that we ourselves go through. How could this be so? The very first thing you experience as Shabbos begins is you feel that you are recreated. You're like a new person. All of the pressures of the week simply vanish. That's actually part of why people are so unusually tired throughout the night, because they're finally relieved of all of those responsibilities. In fact, our sages actually tell us that one of the mitzvahs of Shabbos, when it says 6 days you shall work. Now technically you would think, well, that's not a mitzvah of Shabbos, that's a mitzvah for the 6 days. No, the Masechta actually says 6 days shall you work means that when you enter Shabbos, you are obligated to psychologically feel that all your work is done. Now, true. None of us has ever entered the Shabbos with all of our work done. Stop thinking about it. You're free. That is described as rebirth. You're like a baby that has been born into freedom. No responsibility. I mentioned last week the story of Herman Wouk, who was producing in the 1950s. He was working on producing one of his novels for a Broadway play, I think it was the K-1. And they were working 18 hours around the clock. And the play was going to open Saturday night, and he tells his co-producer Friday afternoon, I'll see you. And the co-producer thought he was going to the bathroom and said, be back in 10 minutes. We don't have time. And Herman Wouk said, I'm sorry, I'm going to be gone for 27 hours. Now we'll be back a half an hour before our show opens. And the person said, are you crazy? Our Broadway show is opening up, and you're going to just take off the last 27 hours. And Herman Wouk said that although he had been a young man, that's the first time he realized, you know, it's not a matter of life and death, you just say no. So that's stage one. Freedom, creation. I'm reborn. But as wonderful as that is, as liberating as that is, that's not enough. Because if all you have is freedom from the outside world, you haven't yet given a content to you. Free to do what? Free to be what? That is why we say that true freedom is not simply the absence of restriction. True freedom is submission. Thus, you move from the idea of being recreated to the idea of Torah, the revelation, which is the theme of the morning. The same way in the holidays, not to do plenty here, the holiday of Pesach is connected to the holiday of receiving the Torah as an accompaniment of the Omer. Because freedom without Torah is just anarchy. So too we think Shabbos itself. We move from creation to revelation. Mentioned before in a beautiful statement, the poet Tagare, who's not Jewish at all, he's not saying it about Judaism, but he actually said, a human soul is like a violin string that is capable of producing beautiful music. But when it's totally loose and free, a loose string on the kitchen table, it produces nothing at all. It's only when it's stretched on the ground. So it's only when our soul becomes stretched. Only when it is connected to the choice. So, we go from creation, which is freedom, to revelation, which is submission to God. But that's not about me. When we liberating ourselves on the national level, first to Mashiach, it refers to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, it refers to the ingathering of the exiles on the board. But Sikrit Hasidus and Sikrit tell us that the result of it is not just a commitment to Washington. It is an exile within our souls when we feel estranged, separated from God. And that exile can manifest itself in many ways. I feel distant from Hashem. I feel estranged from my fellow human being, whether it's husband, wife, parent, child, or one Jew to another Jew. And ultimately, there can be an estrangement between a person's own personality, where their mind knows what they should be thinking, what they should be doing. But the heart and the mind are working on it.
feel.
It's not connected to what I should be doing, what I should be doing. That is called strength, get rid of the opposite of that. Other people call it, we saw sponsors of it, totally opposite sources. That the greatest distance in the world. So when we talk about unity, Atah, God is one and we are one. We are referring to all of the questions. Unity between man and God, unity between man and his fellow man, unity between husband and wife, parents and children, unity among Jews, and unity within ourselves. That is inner. Some of us achieve that inner. But it doesn't matter. So, Shabbos in theory is a profession. We start with freedom.
Talk about his baseball game.